Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host. You know me, the host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men, by men. And it's the show that not even women want to miss. We are the show that every episode we address life, love, relationships, social challenges, money. We always do it from a man's perspective. It's that perspective that has been missing for decades. For decades, we've been listening to the ladies tell us what it means to be a man and what a man's role is. We've been listening to all of these things, and men listened intently. And the interesting part is we were never asked what we wanted, what we expected from women. So here on Straight Talk is the opportunity to voice that, for men to be able to talk about what is in the best interest of the whole, which is how us men are trained to think and look at the world. The very thing that women want from us is our leadership, and that is a main attribute of leaders to make decisions that are in the best interest of everyone. So we do this in a very straight, direct, sometimes brutally blunt way. Not always what you would call popular or politically correct. So tonight will be no different. And I'm going to do something that I started, and it was not allowed to be finished. So I'm going to look at, we've got a topic here. And it's, here's how the media destroyed manhood. And you know, are men caught in the whole feminist trap because of manhood? We're going to look at that. And I'm going to show a perfect example of a movie from 1975 that clearly illustrates this whole battle of the sexes and how they started, I hate to say this, putting their foot on a man's neck. And a lot of men acquiesced, accommodated them. What's going on, Imperator? Good to see you in the house, man. I'm going to show a beautiful example of how the battle of the sexes and feminism and manhood is playing out, and how there's actually a war. I'm going to give a beautiful example in a movie. So this way it won't have to be my words. I'll let Hollywood speak for it, because when you see this, you will see exactly how this is playing out. Exactly. So my thoughts, and I'll say this more than once, it's a copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news, reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by a copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. So I'm using this for educational purposes, scholarship, teaching. That's what this is for. This is fair use. I'm not going to show the whole movie. I started it from the beginning the last time, so this time I'm going to fast forward a little bit. So guys, welcome to Straight Talk. Always love having you. Want to see your comments. I'm going to be interactive with this movie. So as you come in, smash that like button and share this. This is for someone, for the people who lined up to see this show the last time. I think it was about 2 months ago. Share it with them. Share it in your social media. Share it with guys who really need to see this, man. What's going on, Lando? What's up? You want to see this show, man. And so come in, guys. share it, like it, and if you haven't subscribed, smash that bell so you can see my notifications. And I hear that some of you guys are not even seeing my notifications sometimes. What's going on, Skip? Yeah, this is going to be a good show. Good to see you in the house, man. So, I'm going to give you guys a couple of minutes to come in, check me out, smash that like button, and we're going to get the show on the road, man. And I'll tell you the name of the movie. Give me a second. Let's see. This is a classic. This movie was so good. It won all kinds of awards, man. Like crazy awards for a lot of things. Best actor, actress, director, screenplay. Like just out of control awards. This is a classic of classics. Give me a second here. I'm actually, I usually do this earlier. Just sending a couple of text messages so people can check out the show. So, what is the name of this classic of classics? It's called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson, he's a star in this, and man, he lights up the screen on this movie. So, once again, I'm going to show this under fair use. I'm not attempting to show a whole movie. I'm going to break this up into parts. And I want you guys, I'm showing this because this is a clear illustration of feminism. And it's showing a real battle. It's showing how women are really, it's a clear illustration of how women as feminists are working hard to shut men and manhood down. So we call it, they call it toxic masculinity now. That's, men are being treated as toxic just for being masculine. So it's like trying to shut that down, and we see it with our boys. They're trying to do it even with the boys. In Germany, I heard they're telling, they're teaching boys to sit on a toilet when they have to pee. Somewhere in, I think, Oregon, they're taking the men's urinals out in some office building. So this is a war, man. Yes, Skip, you remember that one. Came out in the 70s. I think it was 75. What's going on, Mr. Earl? Good to see you in the house. So, and there's something else that this pill. So I had some thoughts about this show when I was writing this up, when I was thinking about it. So my thoughts were, in this classic film, we're going to see the feminist movement started, where it really started to pick up steam. And the characters in the movie are a great demonstration of how men have been asked to be less of a man than they were in the past. And this is where it really starts happening, mid-70s. And at the same time, it shows what happens when the red pill, Jack Nicholson is truly like red pill MGTOW. He's he is an unstoppable example of manhood. And he disrupts the whole blue pill status. So you guys will see men that you would call simps, and the guys who are just going along and also suffocating manhood. So you'll see them in this. Those guys who really are keeping the, I'll say status quo for lack of better words, but status quo in the sense of putting feminism in place where we tell men to be feminine and women to be masculine. The movie stars some of Hollywood's greats. It has, as I said, it was such a hit that it won Best Actor, Actress, Director, Best Film, Best Screenplay, and many other awards. Like, they stacked the awards that year. And while it's a great movie, I don't think this movie could have been made in today's politically correct environment. And you'll see why I'm saying this. It clearly outlines how men have been shut down over the past several decades. So, I'm not down with the whole battle of the sexes, but this movie is going to illustrate that. And it's like, it's sad to say it, but I'm showing it because I want you guys to see sort of the genesis, where this started, and how the media started grinding down on men and manhood. What's going on, Colette? Good to see a lady in the house. I'm going to show anyone that's coming in at Instagram, I'm going to show a movie. And it's better if you could see it over at YouTube. So if you come over to Ted Santos on YouTube, you'll be able to see this. Hey, Skip, you know what? So you're saying it's the last decade to see masculinity. This movie is going to show why it was the last decade. You're going to see the war. If you've seen this already, it's going to be really good to see. Just look at it from another perspective as an adult, and you're really going to see the role this movie played and the setup of what we're looking at today. So, gentlemen, let's get this show on the road, and I am going to show you. I'm going to bring it in at the 4-minute mark, and as I said, under the Fair Use Act, under Section 107 of Copyright Act 1976, allowances made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. And I'm only doing this for educational purposes. I really want men to understand what's happening in this country and really where this started. So it's for critique, and I'm going to skip around and jump through the movie. The ending is going to blow you away. So get ready to get this show on the road. Let's go. I'm going to stop it every once in a while. What you're seeing is this is at the 4-minute mark, and they already showed this mental institution, and you got to see some of the main characters in here, and you saw how people line up, and the men are like completely conforming to what they're supposed to do. And here's Jack Nicholson being brought here with guards, and you'll watch how they release him.
This is reference, and I'm going to need a signature.
For anyone just joining, the movie is called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It was made in 1975, and 75 was really a year where feminism started getting some traction and taking off. Country Boy, good to see you. Check out, I'm showing a movie, so check me out so you can see it on YouTube. I'm doing a screen share. Get the younger woman. The older nurse is man. She represents feminism on fire. The younger woman, you could say, she's in training. She is in training to become like Nurse Ratched. So let the show go on.
Right, I'm ready. Okay, a pair of socks, t-shirt,
boy, hi. God damn, boy, you're about as big as a mountain. Look like you might have played some football. What's your name? You can't hear you. Just death and dumb in.
Come on. That's so. Come on, Bibbit.
Can't even make a sound, huh? How?
What's the play?
In 2021, they wouldn't allow this. This would be like completely politically incorrect. The whole how and the mocking the Indian sound. There are going to be quite a few scenes that just most likely wouldn't be permitted. It would people would be outraged. It's politically incorrect. But this is 1975.
Club lead, Jack.
Okay.
So now you're going to be introduced. You've met the nurses. Now you're going to meet the patients here, and you'll watch their behavior, and you're going to see this sort of transformation. So Jack Nicholson, think of him as Red Pill MGTOW meeting hardcore feminism. And watch what happens, the battle. You could say the battle has already begun. But as soon as they took the cuffs off and he started laughing, Jack Nicholson is manhood. Even look how he's dressed.
What's your name, son?
Bill.
Glad to know you. Bill McMurphy's mine.
That's old Charlie Teswick's kind.
That's his ace of spades. Your turn, Bill. Big Teswick.
Put one of them on it, will you?
Wait a minute.
Oh, I can win that. I win.
Oh, you overturn.
Sure.
He not going on, Bill.
You're going in space?
Okay. What's
your bid?
You like to look at other people's cards, do you?
Yes.
That's Danny DeVito, a very young Danny DeVito. And they're playing Pinochle. So watch what Jack Nicholson has them playing.
Never seen this one.
Come on, Martini.
Martini.
Martini, will you? Will you play a cup?
He's got cards with naked women on him. So he's going to personify manhood in every way you can imagine, man.
Who's the turn is this, man?
Well, it's a heat trump. Where are you going?
Aren't you going to play? Aren't you going to play Martini? Martini? I want to play.
Billy?
Billy, I want to win.
Get a grip on yourself, will you?
Yeah?
Mr. McMurphy's here, Doc.
Oh, good. Have him come in.
All right, so this is going to be interesting. You tell me what you think this guy is. Just one quick second. Eric code 605, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, I'm Joe. Wanted to find out what you had today for today's topic.
Joe, you got to come check me out on YouTube live stream under Ted Santos. I'm doing a critique of how Red Pill and feminism were at a battle from back in the 70s. I'm showing the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm breaking it up. I'm not showing the whole thing in its entirety, but I started at the four-minute mark, so you didn't miss much. But it's a clear-out war between manhood and feminism in this movie.
That was a good movie. I saw it.
You saw it? I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I'll put myself on mute and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right, cool, great, thanks a lot, Joe. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
McMurphy, I'm Dr. Spivey. Dr. Spivey, what a pleasure it is to meet you.
Sure. Pull up a chair, sit down, let's talk.
Sure.
R.P. McMurphy.
Got a hell of a fish there, Doc.
Isn't that a dandy?
Yeah. About 40 pounds, ain't it?
No, 32. I'll tell you, it took every bit of strength I had to hold it out there while the guy took the picture.
Every damn bit. Probably that chain didn't help in any either.
Well.
You didn't weigh the chain, did you, Doc?
No, I didn't weigh the chain. But damn, I'm awful proud of that picture. That's the first conifer I ever caught.
Nice one.
Randall Patrick McMurphy, 38 years old. What can you tell me about why you've been sent over here?
Well, I don't know. What's it say there? Mind if I smoke?
Well, go right ahead. Well, it,
Hey, check that out. Smoking, right, in an office building. That doesn't happen anymore, so you know this is back in the day. So, but check out this interaction, guys. Tell me what you think, who this guy represents you.
Says several things here. Said you've been belligerent, talked when unauthorized, been resentful in the attitude toward work in general, that you're lazy.
Chewing gum in class.
Well, the real reason that you've been sent over here is because they wanted you to be evaluated.
Yeah.
To determine whether or not you're mentally ill. This is the real reason. Why do you think they might think that?
Well, as near as I can figure out, it's because I fight and fuck too much.
In the penitentiary?
No. You mean why?
Why did you get sent over here from the work farm?
Oh, yeah. Well, I really don't know, Doc. It
says here that you went
ain't
around.
Up to me, you know?
Well, just take a look.
Ain't up to me, though.
1, 2, 3, 4. You've got at least 5 arrest for assault.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that?
Five fights, huh? Rocky Marciano's got 40 and he's a millionaire.
That's true.
That is.
Oh, man, they can't do that. They shut me down again? Come on. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Why? Under fair use, under the Fair Use Act, I'm showing this under the Fair Use Act. I'm doing this for educational purposes only. Why would they shut me down? They shut me down over on YouTube. They don't want me showing this movie for some reason. That's crazy.
Hey, Ted, while you're trying to fix things, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Did you know that the movie was, I think it was either it was produced or executive produced by Michael Douglas?
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, and his father, Kirk Douglas, wanted to play the lead, but Michael Douglas wanted Jack Nicholson instead. And in fact, I think the movie was supposedly written for Michael Douglas, for Kirk Douglas. But then, I guess, I don't know, maybe Jack Nicholson lobbied for the part and got it. That's an interesting trivia part of Hollywood land.
That's actually very interesting. And, you know, I mean, I remember Kirk Douglas. I think Jack is better for this role. I think he just kind of naturally that bad boy delinquent, you know, against the system. And he exudes manhood more than what Kirk Douglas did.
Well, he got nominated for an Oscar for it. I don't remember if he won the Oscar or not. But I think
this movie they stole the awards. They got Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Film, Best Screenplay, Best Director. Man, they cleaned up that night. It looks like they let me go back on live. So I need to make this announcement again. It's a copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976. Allowances made for fair use. I'm only showing this for fair use. I'm showing it for educational purposes. Fair use allows you. It's an allowance made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. This is scholarship, teaching, research. And we are researching the sort of genesis of the feminist movement. So fair use is permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing on nonprofits. It's only for educational purposes. I'm not showing the whole movie. I'm going to break it up. I'm going to interrupt it. And in Imperator, yes, they did. They shut me down. They blocked my live stream. Look, we're going to chop it up a bit here. Let's see how much of this do I want to show. So I probably have to interrupt a little more than what I have done, guys. Sorry about that, but I'm not showing the whole movie. So let's continue this conversation.
Of course it's true.
Oh, and I stopped it because I wanted to make a comment about how Jack Nicholson is making jokes. He's saying he was the guy saying he was arrested five times for fights. And he said, what do you say, Rocky Marciano had 40 fights and he's a millionaire. So he's kind of making a joke of things. And it's you'll hear why he was even here.
True, that you went in for statutory rape, that's true, is it not this time?
Absolutely true.
Now, just listen to what he says about this statutory rape. I don't think this would fly in the 21st century. this scene right here and amongst many others would be like not even allowed. Maybe this is why they haven't done a remake of this movie.
But Doc, she was 15 years old, going on 35, Doc, and she told me she was 18. She was very willing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I practically had to take the cell in my pants shut.
Wow, so he's telling you, he's not even denying it. He's like, yeah, she's 15 going on 35, and man, she was trying to rip my clothes off. So he's not denying anything. But so they apparently locked him up in jail, and he was transported here, you saw, with guards from prison to a mental institution because, well, let's hear why.
But between you and me, she might have been 15. Would you get that little red beaver right up there in front of you? I don't think it's crazy at all.
Do they let us say red beaver on in the movie and the media anymore now? Get the likes up on this one, guys. We want the algorithms to catch us to bring in more. More people need to watch this movie. It's a great classic. And it's a great classic about manhood. Even though it's a battle between manhood and feminism, it's an excellent movie about what women, about manly men that women say they like. And the bad boy of all, you know, he's the bad boy of bad boys. And you'll really see why.
Thank you, do either. I hear what you're saying. No man alive would resist that. And that's why I got into jail to begin with. And now they're telling me I'm crazy over here because I don't sit there like a goddamn vegetable. Don't make a bit of sense to me. If that's what being crazy is, then I'm senseless, out of it, gone down the road, wacko. But no more, no less. That's it.
Well, to be honest with you, McMurphy, what it says here.
He must have killed a bug on his desk. So, I mean, he's making a complete joke of all of this.
Is that they think you've been faking it in order to get out of your work detail.
So, hear what he just said. They think he's been faking it. So this is going to play a role later on. It's going to be a great scene in here that relates to this right here, what was just said.
Let's just be frank for a minute.
Randall, if you would, tell me. Do you think there's anything wrong with your mind, really?
Not a thing, Doc. I'm a goddamn marvel of modern science.
This is a guy who just doesn't give a damn. I'm a goddamn marvel of modern science. This is really the kind of manly men that women say they want. He's showing right up front he cannot be controlled. And in prison, he said they just wanted him to sit there. That didn't make sense. Which is exactly what we have the school system attempting to do to boys now. Just sit there.
Well, you're going to be here for a period for us to evaluate you.
We're going to study you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make our determinations as to what we're going to do and give you the necessary treatment.
Doc, let me just tell you this. I'm here to cooperate with you 100%. 100%. I'll be just right down the line with you. You watch. Because I think we ought to get to the bottom of R.P. McMurphy.
So you saw his interaction there, and I'm not sure if that guy is really that. I think he's the head, or he's definitely one of the big wigs in this mental institution. So now we're going to get back to the ward he's staying in with Nurse Ratchet, and there are 18 men on this floor. Nurse Ratchet and her, to stop me again. Come on, come on. Stopped it enough times. Do they really not want me to show this movie? Is that what you think it is, Joe? They don't want me to show the movie. Unbelievable.
I don't know. Have you been thinking about the cancel culture and your show? I don't think your show is much of a threat, but the shows I go on, which are politically conservative most of the time, I think they're a threat. Block Talk Radio changes terms of service. I think you should read them if you haven't been notified yet to find out. Who knows? Which shows are approved by Block Talk Radio?
Oh, this
or
is
not.
Block Talk. This is YouTube that shuts it down. Yeah, it's YouTube, not Block
Talk. Yeah, but YouTube is definitely a cancel culture medium.
Yeah, so I'm not having a problem with Block Talk at all. You and I are speaking just fine. It's YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. That's the term. It's probably because they want to make sure that you're not going to exploit the movie. They're very protective of that. The copyrights, stuff like that.
Yeah, but under Fair Use Act, you're allowed to. You're actually allowed to use. There is an allowance provided you're using it for educational purposes. See, like they gave the movie back to me. So it's like they're just interrupting, like they're just like poking at me right now.
Mm-hmm.
They just gave it back to me. They just gave me the screen back. So they just did a brief interruption. I didn't time it. So let's carry on. So now we have Nurse Ratched.
Okay.
Under Fair Use Act, I'm only using this for educational purposes. We're going to jump around to a lot of different themes. But let's see what we have here. So here we're going to see how the men interact with Nurse Ratched and her trainer, her apprentice in feminist training. Just really observe the interaction. And even watch the young nurse. I mean, the young nurse is actually, she's good looking. She's got a nice figure on her. And it's interesting that she's being trained to be feminist in training. The young nurse has more of the unbelievable. It hit me again. What's up with that?
Well, I forget who played the nurse, but that particular role made her famous for a long, long time.
No kidding. Really?
Oh, God, yeah. After that movie came out, every the phrase, you're a Nurse Ratched, was pretty popular in American culture for a number of years.
Yeah. Look at, what's his name? Danny DeVito came out of this movie.
Hey, Van, I forgot all about that. I didn't remember her in the movie at all.
I can't
wait till you get to the scene where Nicholson organizes the mutiny. That is the best part. Oh, God.
Wait, which you mean when he's on the bus or?
Near the end of the movie where they rebel against Nurse Ratched, who's always taking away their privileges. Oh, it is funny.
Yeah. That's that's a major part of the movie. Like that's like sort of that showdown. So, but I don't want to jump ahead. But yeah, you're on the money with that.
People were clapping in the movie theaters.
She's the actress who people love to hate. She actually played her really well. She played it really well.
Oh yeah, very well. Yeah,
like her stares, her looks, her inauthentic niceness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was very good. I forgot her name, but she was famous for a while. I think I don't even know if she's alive anymore.
Yeah, you figure this was 75, so I don't know how old she was. She had to be in her 40s since, so you know, quite some time has gone by.
Yeah.
So they gave me my
screen. Well, she's probably still alive. Yeah, she would only be in her 60s.
Yeah. 60s, 70s, yeah. So they gave me my screen back. All right. So they're poking with me, Joe.
Okay. I'll put myself on mute again.
Okay, cool. Here we go, guys. Nurse Ratched interacting with the patients. And let's watch how the insane asylum engages Nurse Ratched.
Mr. Ellsworth, you will wake yourself up.
So no real activity by men. This guy's just dancing around. He's not hurting anyone. He's not doing anything wrong. So even the orderlies who are men are supporting Nurse Ratched and shutting down any active manly or any actions. You know, men like boys like to be active, and they're shutting it down.
All right, gentlemen, let's begin. At the close of Friday's meeting, we were discussing Mr. Harding's problem concerning his wife. Mr. Harding stated that his wife made him uneasy because she drew stares from men on the street.
So watch the look on the faces of men. Just so, like, take a good picture of all of this, and you'll see later in the movie, you'll see how this place changes.
Is that correct, Mr. Harding?
Yes. Yes. That's correct.
He also thinks he may have given her reason to seek sexual attention elsewhere, but he wasn't able to say how. Mr. Harding has been heard to say to his wife, "I hate you. I don't ever want to see you again. You've betrayed me." So, is that...
So, Jack is McMurphy, the character McMurphy, is seeing, he's watching all this for the first time. So, he can't imagine what would be going through his head, but it's interesting to watch him observe.
Anyone care to touch on this further? Mr. Scanlon, would you begin today? Are you sure?
See how lifeless the men are? Like she's done it to them.
Billy, how about you?
No, ma'am.
I'd like to write in my book that you began the meeting. Just once.
So, it's already has shown his ability to disrupt this place.
Mr. Martini?
She's tolerating them.
Are you with us?
Danny DeVito.
Would you like to begin?
See how powerless the men are? I mean, she is a force to be reckoned with. She's got this place under control, man.
Mr. Cheswick? Liz?
Yes.
You mean there's not a man here who has an opinion on this?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. He did it again. Why? That makes no sense. They're not shutting me down. They're just playing with me.
Yeah, apparently they're just making sure that you're going to abide by their terms, even though you say it's for recreational purposes or educational purposes only.
Yeah, well, it's not like I'm making money off this, so.
Yeah, but they don't know that, so I guess they're just making sure.
Well, definitely was a good movie. I mean, the last time I showed it right out the gate from the beginning. So this time I started it at 4 minutes. And I'm getting ready to jump ahead in a couple of minutes. So they're gonna go a little crazy in this scene here. I still have people watching on YouTube, so even though they're shutting it down. So if you're on Instagram watching me, thank you for joining. I'm showing a movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's a beautiful example of how the battle of the sexes, feminism fighting against manhood, and feminism is stepping on the necks of manhood. And in comes a red pill man, and you see a real slugfest go on from there. So they gave me my screen back. So let's see what we have here.
This matter. All right.
So as much as I hate to say this, We're looking at what you're seeing in this scene here. Unfortunately, is how a lot of men have become. They won't speak up. They don't want to say anything. And they just let things keep going on as almost as though they are powerless.
Mr. Harding, you've stated on more than one occasion that you suspected your wife of seeing other men.
So, yeah, man, she's like, I she's a nurse, or maybe she's got a nurse and a psychiatrist. And Mr. Earl, yeah, so this is part of the reason I'm showing it, right? You actually see women who have this kind of vibe, right? So this vibe was being sold and marketed to women. This movie was just extremely famous. Many of the people were famous for the roles they played. If you guys heard Joe, he's talking about how Kirk Douglas was really originally written for him to play the role Jack Nicholson is playing in. But Jack knocked the ball out of the park with this, so.
Oh, yes. Yes, very much. I suspect her. I suspect her.
Well, maybe you can tell us why you suspect her.
Well, Well, I can only speculate as to the reasons why.
Have you ever speculated, Mr. Harding, that perhaps you are impatient with your wife because she doesn't meet your mental requirements?
Technically, that's a judgment. I've never been in a mental institute. I don't know how that works. That just seems like she just judged him and kind of came down on him for presenting himself as an intelligent man and saying that he's impatient because if your wife doesn't measure up to the intellect you have, you may have been impatient with her. So therefore, does that mean she has a right to cheat? I don't know.
Perhaps, but you see, the only thing I can really speculate on, Nurse Ratched, is the very existence of my life with or without my wife in terms of the human relationships, the juxtaposition of one person to another, the form and the content.
Well, why don't you knock off the bullshit and get to the point?
This is the point. This is the point, Tabor. It's not bullshit. I'm not just talking about my wife. I'm talking about my life. I can't seem to get that through to you. I'm not just talking about one person. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about form. I'm talking about content. I'm talking about interrelationships. I'm talking about God, the devil, hell, heaven. Do you understand? Finally!
Yeah, Hardy, you're so fucking dumb, I can't believe it.
Oh.
We're going to have a little bit of fireworks from here. And that guy who just called him out, I think, wasn't he famous? Wasn't he on Taxi with Danny DeVito? He was around too, I think so.
Oh, it makes me feel very peculiar. Very peculiar when you throw in something
peculiar.
Like that.
What does that
peculiar.
Mean?
Peculiar, Harding.
Peculiar.
Peculiar. I'm going to tell you guys something. You just don't want to learn anything. You just don't want to listen to anybody. He's got intelligence.
Wait a minute. You've never heard the word peculiar? Say, what are you trying to say? Trying to say I'm queer? Is that it? Little Marianne? Little Marjorie? Is that it? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is that your idea of communicating something to me? Is it? Well, is it?
Jack's amused by this. Oh, gosh. Oh. Hit me again. Man, that's crazy. Such a good movie to be interrupted so often. Wow. Very interesting.
Well, obviously, they're going to continue to do this just to make sure.
Make sure what? That I don't...
That you're not a copyright thief or using it for monetary purposes. So they're going to probably, if they've already done it 3 or 4 times, I doubt if it's the end. They'll probably do it 4, 5, 6, 7 more times.
There's a lot more to show, unfortunately. Doing it a lot.
Do you want to continue? Because you might get interrupted as you continue. Or do you want to talk about the movie?
Well, go ahead. Let's chat. Did you have thoughts about the movie?
Yeah, I don't mind talking about it at all as a representation of, neo-feminism versus, manhood today, toxic masculinity. You have anybody else that's on the line or wants to talk about it?
They just gave me the screen back.
Yeah, they'll probably do it periodically off and on for the rest of the movie. Okay, back on mute I go.
Hey, country boy, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's going on? You are you able to... You're watching the movie on YouTube or no?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting up there calling, looking at these people interrupt your streaming.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Joe, so, Joe, what are your thoughts? I'm going to show some more, but what are your thoughts, Joe? You were saying about neo-feminist, and what were you saying?
Yeah. Well, the reason I say neo-feminist is because the real feminism movement, at least the one that's attributed to, I forget the one, oh, that woman's name, the feminist mystique, she wasn't against men. She just wanted women to have the opportunity to go out and make money if they wanted to, and to not be stigmatized by their husbands or by society. But it's the neo-feminists in the last 30, 40 years that are really against men. I know there are some actual feminists who decry the statistics of domestic violence, for example, and they're on the side of men when it comes to fairness. There was one woman who was about only 35 or so, gave a TED talk, and she said when she first started out doing research about relationships between men and women, she was biased against men. But when she was talking to men and she found out that the stats were shown to be true, that there's about something like around 40% of assaults against men,
right,
she started to change her mind and started to realize that fairness was the name of the game. Give men a voice, as opposed to the Me Too movement, which always says, if a woman complains, she's right.
Right.
Well, no.
So,
there are a lot of liars out there.
Joe, I'm gonna add to that. So the Harvard Medical School found that 70% of domestic violence is initiated by women.
Wow, 70%.
I pulled the article up and did a screen share on YouTube. I showed this. It's Harvard who did this. It's Harvard's article, and you have to have a subscription.
I'll look. Oh, really?
It's
oh,
real
what's the name of the article? I'll look it up anyway.
you always ask these good questions. Never mind.
I'll look it up. I'll put in the keywords in Google. I'll put in 70% Harvard research and domestic violence, and that'll pull up something. Yeah. And it'll pull up the page. And if you have to be a subscriber, then I can't download the. But I'll take a look at the abstract. The abstract will be there.
Yeah, it'll show you an introduction, but clearly in the article it talks about that there's, you know, sometimes men start, sometimes women start, sometimes neutral, but 70% of the time women are victimized. And that's just been out of the media.
Wow. Because I think most men would agree that a lot of women start the not only the physical assaults, but of course the verbal battles,
right,
way, way more often than people think.
and the way a man's brain works, it's like the, you know, you incite a riot in him, and so, you know, and when a woman starts to fight,
yeah, but that's always,
and she gets her ass kicked.
Yeah.
Say, well, he hurt me, beat me up. So, you started the fight and got your ass kicked, and now you want to scream victim. So that's the way it works.
Victim.
And so the analogy I use, if a lion is roaring at you and you don't like it, are you going to jump in a cage and, you know, say, I'm going to kick your ass and talk a lot of trash? No. So it's the same thing with a man. Like, men are dangerous. We are apex predators. Little girls need to learn this, that the same way you don't go after a barking dog or a roaring lion, you don't go after a man. It's dangerous.
Sure. Don't put your hands on a man, even though you're going to get hurt. Don't then claim later, I'm only a little girl, I could have gotten hurt. Well, keep your hands to yourself. If you want to act like a man, you get the repercussions of a man.
Absolutely. Right. They don't fully understand that, and they think they're going to get a pass. Well, I'm a girl. Actually, I showed a, there's an, Whoopi Goldberg on the, I think it's The View, and there's about a 2-minute clip where Whoopi Goldberg says, look, women shouldn't hit men, and all the other women, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, all said, no, women have a right to hit a man. If she gets upset, women are emotional. And then Whoopi said, well, he should be able to hit her back. And all the women were screaming, are you crazy? We can hit him, and he's not going to get hurt. We're just girls. That shouldn't hurt him. And Whoopi said, no, if you hit a man, he has a right to defend himself. And they were flipping out, like, no. And she said, well, then don't hit him, and you won't get hit back. So another study came out years ago. Right. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Right. Go ahead, Kendrick. Go ahead.
In other words, don't provoke that man to retaliate against you with physical harm, kid. That's what I was taught.
Exactly. So, and that's what needs.
And there was a study years ago.
Yes, sir. And the feminists teaching the backwards, but they teaching the opposite of what you're saying, kid. They teaching him to hit him, and he's just gonna take it. No, no, no. You hitting me. If you own her to pass a leg, Ted, you own her to take a leg, regardless of man or woman.
I hope in that study, Ted, because I know about a study a few years ago, and when men were defending women, when they were saying, you can't hit us because we're powerless victims, we're porcelain creatures, there was a study that said that when a woman usually initiates, or let's say very often when she initiates physical violence, it's not because she hits you with a fist. She looks for a rolling pin, a skillet, a pan, a baseball bat. She waits until your back is turned. She waits until you're asleep. I hope that's in that study, that Harvard study, because that's the way women operate.
I don't remember if that's it, Joe. I don't.
If you don't remember, it's probably not there. But it's an interesting little figment of the cultural imagination about how powerless females are. They will look for the first thing that's handy, knock you over the head, and then say, "Why did you get angry at me?" Jesus.
I mean, really, it's not funny at all. Go ahead.
But I want to add another point on to what Mr. Joe was saying, Ted. Now, if she's so powerless, how in the world do we have a high rate of out-of-wedlock kids out here, Ted? If she's supposed to be powerless, she got control of power to whoever she sleep with, Ted, and who she procreate with.
Yeah,
Men, we got the right to choose who we want to have a relationship with, Ted.
That's a good point.
So you're just going to have to, you and Mr. Joe are going to have to touch on that aspect of the conversation as well.
Well, you know what women say.
What's that?
Go ahead, Ted.
No, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead. They say what?
Because I've been in discussions with women about that, and they say, well, you know, women, men have to take responsibility for the sex that you have with us. I say, to a certain degree, absolutely. But who's got the veto power? Unless it's rape. You open your legs. You do it on your own. You're the one who has the veto power when it comes to giving birth. But when also it comes to sex, like I said, you have the veto power. So don't claim powerlessness. Don't claim you're a victim. You didn't want that man there because you wanted to give him an orgasm. You wanted that man there so that he could give you an orgasm. And if you have any sense of decency about yourself and a sense of mutual reciprocation, you also want to give him an orgasm. But you're not doing him a favor. You don't go to bed with a man to do him a favor. You go to bed with a man because you've got the same lust we have.
Correct. So the way that I see it, Joe, is that if you know you're allergic to food, it's only you who's responsible for protecting your body from food allergies. So if you know you're allergic to nuts, you don't eat them. And if someone says, here, let me give you nuts, you're going to be like, no. But if you eat them, and you cannot blame the person. If you knew you were allergic and you say, well, they offered it to me, so A woman has a uterus. Just like you know if you're allergic to nuts and there's a certain reaction, you have a uterus. If you allow a man to have unprotected sex with you, there's a possibility of pregnancy. You understand these outcomes, and only you are responsible for protecting your uterus, just like only you are responsible for protecting your stomach from food you're allergic to. So if you're not responsible, then you'll deal with the outcome.
I would agree with you in a rational world. But the men, too, if I know that I'm going to, if I go to bed with a woman because I'm stupid enough not to use unprotected sex, even though she may say, go ahead, Joe, I've got the pill and all that kind of nonsense, and now she becomes pregnant and the law says I got to take care of a child that she decides to bring onto this planet, that's a responsibility. I'm allergic to those peanuts. So I make sure that I use rubbers. I also have shown, I remember one woman in particular who didn't mind. After the act, I would show there was no leakage because I didn't want any, because this happened to me twice. Chicks came to me and said, my period is late. I don't, you know, when they want to put me through a whole bunch of crap. So I've made sure, see, no leakage, everything's inside the rubber. You cannot come to me, and I do it diplomatically. You can't come to me and say, you know,
right,
you're pregnant by me.
Yep. The irresponsibility hasn't always been there. I'm going to see if they let me show some more of this movie. So I'm going to show just a few more seconds and jump to another scene.
Yeah, okay. They're all crawling in on you, Mr. Harding. They're all ganging up on you.
Is that news?
No, they sometimes want to gang up on me, too, but
that's
right.
Well, do me a favor.
Huh?
Take it easy. And stay off my side.
But I only want to help you.
I understand.
But don't you want me to?
Please.
But I only want to.
Please.
But I only want to help you.
Please. You see, the other day, you made some allusions, both of you, to sexual, yes, allusions, not illusions, allusions, to sexual problems I might be having with my wife. All right, let's say it's true. Let's say I know it to be true, but you don't. And if that's your idea of trying to tell me something, you got another thing coming.
You're some kind of morbid asshole or something.
Yeah.
Asshole.
It feels peculiar. Been talking about your wife ever since I can remember. You know, she's on your mind and blah, 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 blah. And
all right. And they got me a lot faster this time around. Wow. Interesting. Got me for seconds this time. Someone must be having fun. Unbelievable.
Yeah, like I said, apparently the pattern is that they're going to continually interrupt you just to make sure.
Make sure of what, though?
Well, you can tell them that this is for educational purposes only, but they don't know that, so I guess they have an algorithm that just allows them to continually interrupt anybody who's going to watch a movie that has those kind of restrictions. So they're policing themselves as opposed to letting the consumer do it.
Interesting. All right. So maybe what I'll do is I'll jump around more often to see if that has an impact.
Okay.
See if that affects their algorithm. Jump around.
Yeah. That might work. Who knows?
Right. They think I'm just showing it. I mean, I went from 4 minutes to 20 minutes, so that's 16 minutes.
I thought you were jumping around enough as it was. I thought you were only watching clips for like 4 or 5 minutes at a time or so. But, all
right. Yeah. I see they gave it back to me. Okay, so I just jumped ahead 5 minutes, so let's another scene. They got out of control and started a big fight argument in there. Yeah, I know, Imperator. They're not pleased. But so let's see where we are.
This kid is dealing with the man with the other person.
All right. Make the bets.
So he's got them, instead of playing pinochle, he's got them playing blackjack and making bets. And he has his own playing cards with naked women on them. So clearly doing things that Nurse Ratched probably wouldn't like.
What's it?
Make the bet. It's a dime. Dime is a lemon. This is not a dime, Martina. This is a dime. You break it in half. You don't get 2 minutes. Get shit. Try and smoke it. Understand? Yes, you understand. All right, here they come. Queen to the chesser. Fruitful to tablations. 10 to Billy to match his wang. And the dealer gets it.
Oh, man. What do I have to do? Show this for 20 seconds? And then clip. All right.
It's ridiculous, ain't it, kid?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, there's a guy in the movie. He's a tall guy. He looks like he's insane. He looks like he's demented. The real tall guy.
Indian?
The quiet one.
The Indian.
I forget the... No, not the Indian.
Yeah, they call him Chief. He's really tall.
Maybe.
You said he looks demented. Maybe that's that guy.
Yeah,
he looks
demented.
He says he's tired all the time.
That may be him. That guy's about 6'3", 6'4". That's his real face. He doesn't need makeup. I met him one time. he actually looked like... His eyes are drooped one side to the left, one side to the right. He actually looked like that.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, and he did get parts in other movies, didn't he?
He in a couple of movies, yeah.
He's
not a bad actor. Not the guy from not the guy from Taxi. No.
He's saying in this movie. Sylvester's not in this movie.
Yeah, in that. Yeah, there's one guy. I think he only played a quiet role, and then he started laughing at the end, cheering when they started to try to, you know, run around, escape, or when they did something to Nurse Ratched, forget exactly what they had done. But that guy actually looks like that. I mean, the poor guy must have been plagued from when he was a kid, you know, because he looks like he belongs in an asylum, the poor guy. He doesn't look normal.
Absolutely. I know who you're talking about. And there's another guy in this. I don't know if they put anything on him. He actually looks like he belongs in an insane asylum. But the guy you're talking about, really saw how tall he was. I don't think there are too many scenes where you can see his height.
Nah, I think he's the quiet one. When they have him standing, he's the tallest one there. He's about 6'4", I believe.
The tallest one in the movie is the Indian. In this movie,
I don't think he played the Indian.
He towers right. over.
How does the Indian look? Oh, really?
He's a robust guy. He's big.
Oh, he's no, big. That's not him. No, the guy that I'm talking about is thin.
I know who you are. Right, the Indian looks like a regular person, but the guy you're talking about does. His face looks really messed up. He probably in school, he probably got it. So he capitalized on it.
Oof. Yeah, yeah. He was smart. If they're gonna look at me like this for nothing, they better look at me for. They better pay to look at me.
Right. I get paid. So let's see if I can. I'll have to jump some more here.
This is a fucking queen here. You understand? You don't count to this and this.
And these guys don't know how to play blackjack. They're like, just hit me, hit me. Even when they're busted, they're like, still hit me.
20 short. Hit me again. Scandal, who's pitching the over?
Danny DeVito is pissing him off. So, he is adjusting to his life here in an insane asylum. So let's see. There's a scene here.
That's why I play cards and you want to fucking trip. Play that game.
Stay back.
Excuse me. So, the nurses are, I guess they're afraid, terrified of the patient. You just saw how she screamed there.
I just wanted to...
Stay back.
Now, watch Nurse Ratched. Watch her interaction. Watch how kind she is.
Patient's on the left, nurse's station.
Well, I just wanted to turn...
When you're outside, we'll discuss whatever problems you have, okay? Patients are not allowed in the nurse's station. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
You see they're getting their medicine. They line up. I guess this is normal. But hear why he came back there to change the music.
Thank you. Excuse me, miss. You think it might be possible to turn that music down so maybe a couple of the boys could talk?
That music is for everyone.
Yeah, I know, but you think we might...
Maybe they just don't want me to show this movie. I mean, their algorithm is really, wow.
Yes, it's obvious. They don't want you to have any kind of continuity with the movie. They're going to continue to interrupt you for as long as you're showing the movie.
Yeah, just that time, T.
What do you mean, it's that time?
They trying to shut everybody up telling the truth. That's the time it is.
Oh,
but you're going to tell it anyhow. That. Go ahead on, tell it, kid.
We are in cancel culture time.
That's interesting.
You know, I like Danny DeVito as, not just as an actor, but as a person who pursued acting. Because the guy's only about 5'3", 5'4", somebody like that, theoretically, have no shot.
I don't think he's even that tall. He's probably under 5 feet. That guy.
Oh, really?
When you see him in this movie, he is exceptionally small. He's not a 5 foot guy.
Really? I don't even remember him from the movie. But the thing is that he made it big. Well, if you take a look at the female stars, they're 5'2", 5'3", 5'4". They make it. But a guy who's 5'1", 5'2", 5'3", or 5'4", generally has no shot. But yet, the women will complain, or not the women, but some people will complain that, well, look, you were 5'5" or 5'6", and then you had to act next to an actor who had to stand on a soapbox to be taller than you in order to present that image of, you know, of masculinity.
Right.
But,
well,
you're 5 foot. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sorry, go ahead.
But you're 5'2", 5'3", and you're a star, a potential star, so You really shouldn't complain about the height problem, lady.
Danny DeVito is 4'10". I knew he was under 5. He's too short.
Wow. What is that? MDB, huh? That's what.
4'10". I just did 4'10". Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about Ted from Fantasy Island? He was probably, what, 3'5" or something? You remember Tattoo?
Yeah, Hershey Velayez, or however you pronounce it.
Okay. Yeah, he married a woman who was 6 foot, by the way.
And I think she divorced him 5 minutes later.
Okay. So let's see. God, man, there's got to be a way. So under fair use, I'm using this only under fair use, educational purposes. That fit scholarship, criticism, research, Fair Use Act. That is the only reason I'm showing this.
Ease it down a little bit so maybe the boys didn't have to shout. Huh?
What you probably don't realize is that we have a lot of old men on this ward who couldn't hear the music if we turned it lower. That music is all they have.
So what Jack is doing what the other guys haven't done. He's speaking up. Like, he's taking things, this is manhood. You take matters into your own hand, you resolve it. There's a problem. The music is too loud. And he was just going to do it himself. He's going to take the damn record player off, turn that sucker down so the men can talk or watch TV or do whatever the hell they want. But she is so nicely saying that some of the men can barely hear. This is all they have. And she's...
This is going to be a little interesting. Judge Joe Brown has a show on Blog Talk Now, and he talks about the same thing. He believes that men they should take matters into their own hands. He doesn't recommend physical violence, but he says that men have been limited. I don't remember if he used the word castrated or not, but he's saying that men have been canceled out. So he's saying the same thing we are.
And this movie is a great example of how manhood's being canceled out. I don't know if there were movies before this that had this strong of a message, but it's clear here. And there's a battle.
Your hand is staining my window.
You touched the window. Man. She's controlling.
Sorry, man.
All right. It's reversed. Your medication.
What's in the horse pill?
It's just medicine. Goofy.
Yeah, but I don't like the idea of taking something if I don't know what it is.
Get upset, Mr. McMurphy.
I'm not getting upset.
Now, that scene is perfect because if a guy says, hey, no, I don't want to do that, that is exactly what a lot of women will say. Why are you getting upset? And there's no upset on his part, but we do get this. It's a way to... shut down any kind of masculinity, any kind of man saying, hey, I'm not for that. That's not what I want to do. And I get he's in an insane asylum, and that's part of the agreement. He's going to have to take medicine. He's going to have to follow their rules. He's questioning things. And a lot of guys we live in, as you were saying, Joe, Judge Joe Brown is talking about how men don't do that. A lot of men have stopped questioning. They just go along. And I think part of that is we get inundated with this belief that women are smarter than men. So a lot of men just sort of settle for that and don't question it. And whatever the woman says, and I guess if you're raised by a single mother, that makes it even worse because you're accustomed to seeing your mother in charge. So, but this movie made back in the 70s, these are, most of these people here born by this time would not, most would not have been raised in a single parent household. It was growing, but the majority still were in two parent households.
It's just that I don't want anyone to try and slip me some Peter.
So he's logically saying, hey, this is where I stand. I don't want this. And they have something for him. And I guess this is, it's, it would be accurate to say that this is some, whatever way women will do their response. You'll see this often in how they get him to go along.
If Mr. McMurphy doesn't want to take his medication orally, I'm sure we can arrange that he can have it some other way.
I mean, that was just a checkmate. If you don't take it orally, we'll find some other way to administer it to give it to you another way.
But I don't think you'd like it, Mr. McMurphy.
And I don't think you'll like it, huh? Powerful as masculinity is in relationship to femininity, it's just showing how masculinity is being crushed. You don't take things into your own hands. You don't make your own decisions. You don't use logic. You just go along with what we say. And this is being really clearly articulated, and we look, we're seeing this in play, and it's happening even from little boys in school.
You'd like it, wouldn't you?
Why not? Give it to me.
Yeah.
Smart, cheap as seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, why didn't you tell her to go fuck herself?
So as you see, he didn't swallow it. He took the pill, but he didn't swallow it. And he spit it in the guy's face. So he's still early in this institution. And the other guys are seeing his behavior. You're going to see how it becomes contagious. Who he's being, how he's showing up, masculinity. He's total red pill in a place of blue pill, even the administrators. And then you have the orderlies who are enforcers of this blue pill culture. But he's like a new planet coming into an established universe and disrupting everything.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, Mr. Earl, exactly, like the vaccine, exactly. Yeah, exactly, that's the exact culture we have now. And I guess that's what they're doing for me here in this movie. They want me to comply. Shut me off again, Joe. Well, just temporarily doing this.
Yeah, my app cut me off, so I had to call back. I only got an hour on this app
okay.
At a time.
What do you have, a Blog Talk app? I don't understand. What do you mean?
No, it's an app that you put on your phone, and you make phone calls through the app as opposed to making it through your normal phone service.
Oh, interesting.
So the app only has it. Yeah, this app only has a time limitation of like an hour or 9 minutes at the most, but then I can call back.
Okay, all right. So they shut me off and shut me back on in less than a minute, so.
Yeah, they're messing with you.
So let me see if I can jump around some more here.
You know, that wasn't very smart. You could have seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see the culture. or you should have. That wasn't smart. She would have seen you. Ugh. Look at Jack. Ooh, ooh.
God almighty, she's got you guys coming and going.
Got you guys coming and going, right? So he hasn't bought into the blue pill culture, even though he's wearing a blue shirt. If this was made now, he would be wearing a red shirt.
I think she is some kind of a champ or something.
No, I thought you were the champ.
You want to bet?
So you see, you saw how when they had the first meeting with her, the group meeting that they have, I guess, on a daily basis, and the guys were lifeless. And now you get to see that the dynamics are already starting to change. People are observing him. Like he's bringing manhood into this place.
Bet on what?
You know.
1 week. I bet in 1 week I can put a bug so far up her ass she don't know whether to shit or wind or this much. What do you say to that? You want to bet? No, you want to bet? 1 week. That's all I need. Who wants to bet? You want to bet? Bet a buck. 1 buck. Huh? I'll bet.
Aids in 1 buck. Oh, now he's taking on the challenge of he's planning to piss this woman off so much that he's just going to mess her head up. And he's betting. He's betting a buck. Someone's taking him on. Okay. He can't do it. Just coming in on Instagram, I'm on YouTube showing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm showing how the 1975 movie, and it shows how feminism has done a job of crushing men, and then what happens when you have crushed men and you add a man who's red pill and how he disrupts the whole world. So I'm jumping around the movie. YouTube is not being as pleasant with me on this movie. They shut me off and then let it back on. So,
hey, you know, Ted, I wouldn't be surprised. Go ahead, no problem.
No, they just shut me off.
I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube is using a female artificial intelligence as its algorithm.
Right, probably do the same on Facebook. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. That's why it keeps interrupting you.
So I'm Jack Nicholson in the madhouse, right?
Yeah.
I want to throw the scene from Planet of the Apes. Remember when Charlton Heston says, "It's a madhouse, a madhouse." You remember that scene?
Vaguely, because that's an old movie too.
Much older.
Yeah,
than this.
Vaguely.
Yeah. I mean, just for a laugh, if you go to YouTube and put type "It's a Madhouse," it'll show Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes screaming, "It's a madhouse!" It's I think that's a famous scene. I think even Saturday Night Live did a spoof on that a few times. But now it's forgotten. Most people don't know about that movie. So let's see if we can jump a little bit here.
But we can watch the ball game. Get off my chest.
Bryson, I think we were making a lot of progress. So who would like to begin today?
So they're doing their weekly meeting. And just look at the faces of the guys and see if they look as lifeless as they did in that first one they had, the first time they showed a scene with a meeting like this.
Mr. McMurphy?
Yeah, I've been thinking about what you said about, getting things off your chest. And there's a couple of things that I'd like to get off my chest.
Well, that's very good, Mr. McMurphy. Go ahead.
Okay. Today, as you may or may not know, it doesn't matter, is the opening of the World Series. What I'd like to suggest is that we change the work detail tonight so that we can watch the ball game.
Here's another instance of him taking matters into his own hands. Right? So the other guys didn't do this. They just went along with whatever they were told to do. They take their medicine. They go with the routine. They just do as they were told. And he's not doing that. Even, oh God, they shut me off again. Wow. They must have it on a timer, Joe. They just shut me off every few seconds.
Yeah, sure. Of course. I mean, they've done it 3 or 4 times. They're going to continue doing it, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times throughout the length of the time that you're going to be showing the movie.
Yeah.
I doubt if they're going to stop and just let you, the next time, just roll the rest of the movie through. They're going to continuously interrupt.
I think how I can, if I refresh the page, I wonder if I refresh the people, next year will it,
I'm surprised they even allow this kind of showing. They've usually banned people from watching or removing a movie because of copyright or potential copyright infringement.
Well, I didn't pull it from YouTube, so I'm not even watching it from YouTube.
Oh,
from another site.
Ah, where you? What is it? Instagram? Are you on?
No. No, what I'm saying is the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I'm not showing it from YouTube. I'm showing it from some other site.
Well, I thought you were on YouTube showing it. I see what you mean. You're on YouTube, but you're showing it from another site.
Correct.
I got it.
That's correct. Exactly. Right. So,
the thing about it is they still trying, they hard as not to let your message get out there on YouTube. Whatever the problem is, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't think it's YouTube now. I think it's the site that Ted's got the location of the movie.
No,
I think he's broadcasting it on YouTube, though. That's what I'm saying.
YouTube is the one shutting
yeah.
it down. Hey, when I pull movies
When
I pull movies from YouTube, they shut me down, like just clamped it down. So I figured I'd try it from a different site and see what would happen. So no, it's not the other, not the other site.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't have any control, and yeah, anyway, they couldn't control YouTube.
Then that just to show how YouTube. Google, Facebook, even Instagram and Pinterest, from what I hear, how they track you, even if you're not a member of that platform. That's
right.
Amazing.
Well, so I am live streaming on YouTube, so I am on their platform. I'm thinking. I'm going to have to look at some other platforms. They've chased some other people away, but...
there's a couple of platforms you can go to now.
Yeah. BitChute is one.
What is it?
BitChute.
Oh, BitChute, yeah. Well, one platform which is going to come online in a few days. You've probably heard of Mike Lindell, right?
No.
No? All right, he's the guy that he's the CEO of MyPillow. He sold over 40 pillows with the commercials, which are running day and night.
Okay.
He believes that the election was a fraud, so they've canceled cultured him. They took him off of Facebook, YouTube,
wow.
Pinterest, Instagram, etc. So he started his own site, which is due for its inauguration in a few days. It's called FranksSpeech.com. And you can do anything you want, unless you use the N-word, the C-word, or curse, or take the Lord's name in vain. because Gab and what was the other, Parler, they were supposed to be the answers to Facebook. They were supposed to provide free speech, but they got effed over too. Hello.
Yeah, they canceled me out, Joe.
They did? I'm telling you, cancel culture is here. All you have to do is show a glimmer that you're against the culture of today, out, the way it's being formed, and you're gone.
Hey, Joe, hold 1 second. Wait, I did this incorrectly.
Okay.
1 second. Hey, Joe, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. I got it all.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Not sure. The Blog Talk, that was Blog Talk this time. So they don't like me.
Oh,
today.
Really? Oh, that's not surprising.
Blog Talk and YouTube. Wow, that's really funny.
Well, Blog Talk is, they usually do like that.
That's too much power, Ted and Mr. Joe. We want to reverse that.
It is, Kendrick. You know what? Did you know? You know what I learned about a month or so ago? Somebody was, like I said, I think it was Parler. Parler had put up their own website, right, at their own expense to be their answer to Facebook censorship. As a result, did you know that Amazon owns 95% of the servers in the United States that people have to host their websites on?
Wow.
That's crazy.
95%.
I thought the DOD, CIA had all that, Mr. Joe.
Well, they probably do it through Facebook. Facebook, Google, et cetera, as far as I'm concerned, are part of the government. But they canceled out Parler, 95%. So this guy, Mike Lindell, he bought his own servers. They're independent from Amazon. He spent millions of dollars to put up this new site. I hope it's worthwhile. I'm not on social media at all anyway. I never saw the attraction to it. I was never on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest. I joined Twitter in order to download some videos, and that was about it.
All right. So let's see if we can watch a couple of minutes here of him standing up to the Ratchet Nurse. Nurse Ratchet.
You've only got 15 minutes left on your show, Ted.
It'll keep going.
What you're asking
it keeps going.
Is that we take very carefully worked out schedule.
Ooh, change, never heard of. Ooh, variety.
Well, it's not necessarily true, Mr. McMurphy. You know, some men on the ward take a long, long time to get used to the schedule. Change it now, and they might find it very disturbing.
Oh, fuck the schedule. I mean, they can go back to the schedule after the series. I'm talking about the World Series, Nurse Ratchet.
Well, anyway, this is no way to proceed about this. How would it be if we had a vote and let majority rule?
Great. Let's vote on her.
So, all those in favor, raise your hand.
As you can see.
Okay, guys. Come on.
Hands go up.
Put your hands up.
You ask them to stand up.
What's the matter with you? You want to watch the World Series?
Come on, get your hands up. It can do you some good to get some exercise, putting your arms up in the air. That's it. Come on, let's.
Damn. Oh, man. Got me again. So. If I have to jump around here.
Went to the house on Sunday afternoon.
Sander Al Dowling.
Billy?
Don't we met?
That's right.
There's a bench to a place. Why are you pressing him? Why?
God.
Man, I'm thinking if I should just jump to the end here. Man, what is this, like 20 times they've stopped me already?
If you keep on going at this rate, Ted, you might have to roll you a fat tree.
Wow.
You're going to go to sleep doing all this, Ted. Huh. They're going to keep interrupting and interrupting.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, Joe.
Well, I mean, if it was that bad, I mean, if I was truly violating something, they should have just shut me down. Cause they have shut down my shows before, like complete shutdown, and deleted it immediately.
But this here is just something to aggravate
and
you, though, kid.
Yeah, because wow. I did a show about, I had a female guest and asked, we were talking about threesomes. She was married and had, you know, it was her idea to do threesomes with her husband. So I had her as a guest to talk about it. And they shut that show down, Jack. Someone reported and they deleted the whole thing.
I mean, ain't no kids and mamas got no been listening to your show, no way.
Exactly. So let's see. So we just saw him ask about baseball game to watch the World Series. The men were scared to raise their hand. And here we go. This is a new day. And action.
Yes, Mr. Keswick.
Mr. Ratchet.
And this is fair use. So now we're going to watch the guy who is always scared. We're going to watch him stand up. The red pill is infecting the men.
I'd like to ask you a question, please.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, if Billy doesn't feel like talking, I mean, why are you pressing him?
They've never done this. Oh, man. Oh, Jack Nicholson is disrupting the whole vibe here.
Why can't we go on to some new business?
The business of this meeting, Mr. Cheswick, is therapy.
Oh. Well, you know, I can understand this, Miss Ratchet, because I know Mr. McMurphy, he said something yesterday about a World Series, a baseball game. You know, and...
I'm on a 20-second timer. And you shut me off, what, every 20 seconds, I guess. That's insane. Huh. Man. So I guess we're going to, how do I get you guys to watch this show? Or watch the movie?
Well, I know Big Shoot, Ted, has a platform where you won't have all those interruptions. And I believe Telegram also, Ted.
Oh, Telegram, really? TELEGRAM?
Yes, sir. If I'm not mistaken, I think that you can broadcast from that app, too, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. So I'll check them both out. I was hoping they would.
But,
go ahead.
You know, but I can say for certain that Bishu won't give you no problems.
Yeah. This is kind of petty, actually. And Joe, yes, they have a female algorithm, probably.
Oh, yeah. We're not letting him do anything against feminism.
It's theory.
Yeah.
You know, someone asked Siri, when is the zombie apocalypse? And I think Siri said like 2028 something. It gave a real date. It gave a month, day, and year.
2028, huh?
I don't remember.
That was a female robot?
No, the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Who gave the answer?
Was it a female robot?
Serious, yes.
Well, if it's going to be a zombie apocalypse, Ted and Mr. Joe, I'm out here in the countryside, so y'all boys know your boy strapped for them zombies.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're coming after the Second Amendment now.
Exactly.
I've never been to a baseball game, and well, I think I'd like to see one. And I think it could serve me too, wouldn't it, Miss Patch?
I thought we decided that, Bishop.
Well, I don't think so, because, I mean, we discussed that yesterday. And we have a new game today, I think, don't we, Matt?
That's right, Jess. We want a new vote on it, don't we?
So before they shut me off, let's jump. They do a new vote. Not every man sitting there raised their hand that they want to watch the game. The last time it was only 3 men. This time every man raised his hand. And she said, no, you need majority, which... And she said there are 18 men on that floor, and you need a majority of the 18, which means you need 10 instead of 9. And
yeah.
So she says, so without a majority, you don't win. So Jack Nicholson goes around to all the guys, and they are, damn, look at that, Joe. They shut me off. I'm not even showing it right now. They shut me off. That's crazy.
Yeah, cancel culture is here.
It's not even playing, and they hit us. That's wild. So it's on some timer.
Yeah, Kendra gave a good suggestion about BitChute and Telegram. The next time you want to broadcast from a platform, maybe you want to try them out so that this might not happen. But then again. You don't know. You don't know with YouTube.
Well, no, if I go to BitChute, if I can still do it broadcast and do like I'm doing now, because I've got Blog Talk and YouTube going on simultaneously, and a screen share, if it has all the functionalities, that would be great. Well, I guess I'm using StreamYard. So StreamYard plugs me into, I don't know if it plugs into BitChute yet. I'll check that out later tonight. So,
game you are supposed to be good. Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Joe?
I said StreamYard has built up a decent reputation.
Yeah,
StreamYard is recommended to you.
Well, and I'm using StreamYard now. That's how I'm doing the screen share.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using StreamYard and it's plugged into YouTube. I think I can do Facebook. Maybe I should have done this on Facebook. I don't know.
Facebook might be just as bad.
Exactly. So I and they just gave it back. So trying to think. I want to jump to some wild scene. Or maybe I can do it a star. They have me on a timer, so they'll shut me off anyway. So.
Yeah, they're going to do that. If you have your own website, you can probably show it from there and then forget about YouTube.
Yeah. So as you see, Jack is making a run for it. You got the Indian let him stand on his shoulders, and he went over the fence. This is a really important scene, because what happens next is just mind-boggling that he does this. And I don't know if they'll shut me off before you get the scene.
Come on, Bob. How are you going?
Don't freeze him. Cause he moves. He moves.
Come on, you guys, get to bed, huh?
So as you see, Jack.
Hey, what's that ball here? Hey, wait a minute. Ah!
No, down here. This is
the one down
here.
Takes them on a boat ride.
Mr. Harding, Dr. Bibbitt.
You got me again, Joe. So, Joe, if you remember, this is the scene. He takes them to the boat and introduces them as doctors of the mental institution of the institute.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard him do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just jumped forward to that. So I think that's a really big scene. Like, he opens up. Like, this is complete, you could say, red pill, like the fight against feminism, attempting to shut men down, and he completely breaks out of that. Takes them on a boat ride. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys have probably never been fishing before. And, you know, what a male bonding kind of thing, like, you know, men going fishing out on the ocean.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, and it's really like our society is even fighting against that, against male bonding. And what men do is like, hell, men shame one another for being masculine. That's the kind of society we have.
Yeah.
Men are like the orderlies in the institute, like shutting people down.
Yeah, we've become the zombies.
Right. And remember I don't know if he's the chief administrator of the hospital who says that, hey, you know, we've got to test you to see if you even belong here, see if you're insane. I don't think you belong here. You know, he's like the head of the blue pill. Kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is really a red pill movie. I'm not, you know, you never hear me saying I'm red pill or MGTOW, but you know, in a culture where, you know, men have taken the stand for MGTOW and red pill and black pill, I mean, this movie really is very much a red pill movie. Very much.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is a throwback to the days when men were men, quote unquote, and it is showing how men are opposing authority, because Ratchet, in the this nurse Ratchet isn't showing her lack of consideration in these because of the interruptions and the clips, but when you see the movie, you see, because as you mentioned before, she's inauthentic. You see how she really doesn't care about the men. She
exactly.
just cares about authority. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Compassion for men as men is like non-existent.
Oh, yeah.
Their face and do the sweet voice well, you know, you have to do this, but really doesn't, as you said, doesn't care about them. Just her absolute.
Yeah. She is very robotic.
Right. So, hey, Joe, this is like way too much of them shutting this off. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to actually take the... For those who want to watch this movie, I'm actually going to drop the link for the movie in the chat. You can watch it. It's free. And YouTube can be pissed off about me doing that now and also. So this link shows a lot of good movies. Joe, I don't know if you can get onto YouTube. This site shows a lot of good movies, even new movies.
What's the name of the site, if you want to mention it?
Yes Movies. I think it's yesmovies.ag.
Yes Movies?
yesmovies.com or .ag, something like that.
All right, yesmovies.com. Okay.
It may not be .com, but it's like yesmovies.ag, I think, or I'd have to...
All right, I'm looking up in Google, Yes Movies,
yesmovies.to, T like Ted, O like Octopus.
Oh, okay, cool. Yesmovies.to. All right, good. I'll take a look at it.
Try .to or .ag. Try either one to see if one works or the other. But you can watch Cuckoo's Nest and a whole bunch of other movies. I watched all five of the original Planet of the Apes on it recently.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Because there used to be sites where... You can have, there are a lot of sites on actually that you're going to watch movies, but I never heard of this one, yesmovies.to. Okay, I'm writing it down so I don't forget.
It's Russian, so, some of it's bootleg, but some of the new movies on there are like clear, like you're watching it in the movie, it's clear as day. So.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
So, yeah, you're welcome. So I dropped link in there, guys. You can watch this. Movie's worth watching. It's a total red pill movie. Sorry that YouTube doesn't have any affinity towards me showing this kind of stuff. So it's unfortunate. What I may just end up doing is doing shows like this in the future and show it on BitChute. Because, hey, Joe, just for your knowledge, there's a movie called Patterns. Rod Serling wrote it, and I showed the movie, and it's a movie about business, men in a boardroom, and it's from 1956. It is a clear demonstration how men work together without women in a leadership position. All the assistants were women, but all the executives. The whole movie was about executives. And it showed how the wives of these men, and it's specifically one, the main character, it showed how they interacted with their husbands and others, man. And it was such a good movie on manhood. Like, it was professional business, but it was definitely manly men and how they engaged one another very aggressively and how they dealt with one another making decisions. And the end is like a jawbreaker. It was excellent. And I showed that movie. They actually didn't disrupt. They did not disrupt me at all on that one. I broke it up a lot. But some other movies I tried to show. But it was, the guys really liked it. Actually, quite a few guys asked me if I could show some more movies like this that give examples. Because it was manhood well before feminism.
Right.
And how...
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably good. Because I like Rod Serling. He's a very good writer.
Yep. And so the movie's called Patterns. It's actually worth watching. If you haven't seen it, it's worth it. I mean, I watched it more than once before I decided to show it. It's that good.
Okay, so, cool. Thanks.
So yeah, that's something I want to do more often, Joe, is show guys how, like, sort of old school the depiction of manhood was compared to what you see now. And the movie Cuckoo's Nest is just a great example of sort of a tipping point where they started pushing manhood off the ledge.
Yeah. Well, it started a long, long time ago. People will refer to the 50s. I happen to like the era of the 50s myself. But people will refer to the era of the 50s of, you know, how men were men. There was a radio show. You remember, there was a TV show. It was Father Knows Best. Well,
right.
Prior to the TV show was the radio show of the same name, Father Knows Best. And in that particular show, the radio broadcast that I was listening to, I was surprised that there was a woman there who was a wife, and she was kind of an ornery, she wasn't much of a bitch, but she was an ornery woman who ruled the roost back in the 50s. And so that kind of shows that women power, female power has been around for a while. And if you take a look at the pulp comics of the 50s and 60s, you will see that there are a lot of women who are playing the role of villainesses, things like that. So, yeah, women power in the United States, that's been coming along, creeping along incrementally for quite a few decades now.
In sort of the 70s, they kind of released the Kraken.
Yeah, didn't it? And then from then on, it just got a little faster, the uphill incline.
Exactly. So I want guys to see just another perspective as opposed to, like Kendrick was born in a time after Cuckoo's Nest. So, you know, he doesn't know. He can see it in movies, but, you know, Joe, you may have seen it in real life, how men were still men in real life.
Oh, yeah, I'm older. Oh, yeah, I'm past my 50s. So, yeah, I remember the times when growing up, when the toxic masculinity wasn't so toxic. It was expected. I don't like the burden that's put on men back then or today about a man must be a man. But when he's not appreciated for being
exactly.
a man,
exactly.
you know, you can't have it both ways, you know?
Right.
Hey.
You know, a lot of women condemn the women of the 50s, but I don't think they completely comprehend what happened. So you figure World War II happened, and those men went and saved the world from Japan and Hitler. But when they came home, they saved the world. So, you know, if you think about it, they literally saved the world from Hitler. So how do you treat a hero? What do you want me to make for you, honey? You treat it, and some guys never made it back home. So how do you treat heroes? These were real, live heroes. So they treated mm-hmm. them well. And the war never came to the U.S. They shut it down. So it's unfortunate mm-hmm. that they say that those women back then, how horrible they were, and they catered to men, but they were catering to heroes. And I'm saying that to say they were showing their appreciation for manhood and how it saved the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hope they had that in mind. I don't think that the veterans of today are appreciated at all. We're the ones that go out to war. We protect, we provide. And even back in Spartan times, in Athens, during the times of Greece, the women, the mothers, they sent their children out. They said, go on your shield or come back on it, which meant that if there were wars, they would stay home. But the boys, you better be a warrior. You better get out there and fight. And if you don't, you're bringing disgrace to the family, and you're worthless, and we don't want you anymore. It's, We should be appreciated for being the warriors that we are and were.
Well, and Joe, not just for that. Every civilization around the world has been built by men. All the bridges, let's think of all the coal mines, guys died in coal mines, iron ore mines, steel mills. How many guys died in steel mills? That's how unions were started, because they were so dangerous. And the skyscrapers. Look at those pictures of the guys having lunch at the Empire State Building or sitting on a beam, right? There were no women up there.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. and we continue to build bridges, wonders of the world. Look at Dubai, how tall that building is, right? These are things that men build, they create, whether it's a car, a vacuum cleaner, stoves, gas, electric stoves, drilling oil, all of this stuff has been created by men. And lots of lives were lost. Men invested everything. Some of them lost everything to create these new industries. And when you say, look, men have done all these things to make life safer and easier for women, what do women do to make life easier for men? And I've heard women say, what do you want, an applause? Like, so what? But there's no appreciation. I'm quoting.
Oh, yeah, we deserve it. We deserve applause. You know what women have? They have the Scarlett O'Hara complex, just like Gone with the Wind. They let the men go out and fight. They stay home and they complain about how it's gotten. You want to exchange places with me in the foxhole, sweetheart? Come on and do it.
Well, from 1996 until 2016, over 6,800 men died from enemy fire in the U.S. Military. 1996 to 2016. Now, same time period, how many women do you think died from enemy fire in the military?
Oh, I'm with you on that. I've quoted stats about women in Vietnam. I don't know the stats that you're about to quote. I would say maybe one or two.
It's bigger than that. It's 46.
46. I know that. 46. I know that during the Vietnam era, the 52,000 boys died, and at the very most, 46 women died. And only a couple died by being in battle by mistake. And I also looked up the stats, because when I've had discussions with people about this, I've said, you know what? American women were safer in the military during the Vietnam era than they were at home crossing the street. If you look up the stats of people who have crossed the street, okay, in the United States, more women have died, I think, by being run over by a car than they were in the military during the Vietnam era.
Very interesting. Wow. Yep. So
we've done a lot for this world, and we deserve appreciation for it. And when you don't show it, bye-bye. Go away. I don't care how pretty you are. If you can't accept me for being a man, for being vulnerable, for being strong, for being smart, for being not so smart at times, I don't need you. You have nothing to bring to the table. And you know what women do when they get to that discussion? They say, we bring beauty. No, your beauty is makeup. Take off the makeup. You don't even bring beauty. So bring something else.
And Mr. Joe, and I'm glad you brought that up, because me and you, we probably ain't never seen each other in person. We don't probably know each other from Adams, but if me and you were to cut ourselves right now, me and you going to bleed the same color blood. We're going to have the same color semen, and we're going to have the same problems the brother ain't got that you got dealing with these women. So
that's right.
That explains why a lot of dudes done hopped up and went overseas, Mr. Joe, because they not getting what they're accustomed to right here in the United States, if that makes
sense.
Absolutely.
Oh, it does make sense. Look, men appreciate being appreciated. Men will die for a woman, a wife, a girlfriend, who they feel absolutely respects them and appreciates them for who they are. But how many men do we know that actually share the vulnerability, either with their girlfriend, their wives, or their female family members? What do they get? You got to man up. Man up. You're a man. Man up. Kiss my ass. I've manned up. Now it's up to you to woman up.
Well, no, then that's being sexist. You can't assign, you can't tell me. You're controlling when you do that.
Okay, I'm not controlling because I'm not telling them to stay with me. I'm telling them to get the hell away from me if you don't like it.
I'm making a joke, but, you know, if you tell a woman to woman up.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The woman's perspective.
I know exactly what you mean, Ted, but at the same time, truth being told, if you act like Mr. Joe was just talking about, them the only type of dude to make them live wet when you talk crazy to them and be real stern and nasty, well, them the type of dude that they claiming they want. This is crazy. Then you want something different once you get a little older. I mean, come on, either you want the bad dude or you don't want the bad dude. What do you want?
Well, see, this is the thing, Wes. So that's why I showed this movie Cooper to them, because it was showing women. It showed how a woman is dominating over men, which is unnatural. Women don't want men like that. But they're in an institution where she has total control, no compassion, and no care for the men. And a lot of women have embraced that. Someone put in a comment, they met women with that kind of vibe, like inauthentic caring and just total control and domination. But there's no end game with that.
Women want the same men they've always wanted. They've always wanted that strong, so-called toxic masculinity. I mean, what women really want is the ability to turn on a dime, so that in case that strong man annoys them too much, then they can say, I'm a victim. Women love to play the victim card as much as they want the strong man. Okay? They want the strong man. But they just don't want the strong man to be too strong, because then women want the power to strike back. They love that. They love the power to strike back and to be a victim. So we can't rely on women to be rational. We have to do it for ourselves and say, you know what, babe? As long as you respect and appreciate me for who I am, okay, I will respect and appreciate you for who you are. I don't control you. You don't control me.
Right.
Women are too stupid. Women could be so much happier today if they actually did not give men a hard time just for the sake of giving them a hard time. Why do they have to compete with men? What do they get out of competing with men? They get nothing out of it outside of money, but in a social relationship, what do they get out of it?
But even out of money, there's no end game. Like, all they're doing is buying stuff. They're consumers. 77% of consumer purchases are by women. So there's no end game. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the responsibility of capital. So we've given women this free reign that they don't know how to manage. And they're doing nothing. Because capital requires responsibility. Build your family, educate your children, to create better life for the people in your world. And they go and make a lot of money. They're like, great, I want to find a woman, have children, and give my family a great life. Women are like, well, I don't need anyone when you give them a lot of money. And here's the thing that also the media doesn't talk about. The fastest growing segment of heroin users is women who earn high incomes, which seems insane. Women with high incomes means they're educated and they have plenty of money, and they're using heroin.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me. You know why? For the same reasons men were using heroin, to get more stimulation. The true stimulation in life is to be fulfilled through love and intimacy. If women, high-powered women, right? Now, they've achieved $100,000, $250,000 salary, the boardroom, the office by the window, the corner office, rather, but they have not achieved the intimacy that they thought they were going to get.
Well,
therefore,
what do they look for? Attract men with that. Like, they think men are attracted. That's what they think, that what they like is what men want.
That is so erroneous. Because I'm sure, Kendrick, Ted, we've all had discussions with women about, what do you think, we ask the women, what do you think men look for in a woman? And they say, well, I have my own car, I've got my own job, I've got my own apartment. And we say, we don't care about that. Why do you keep mentioning that? We don't care about that shit. You care about that in us. We care about the intangibles in you. Are you a caring woman who we can trust? Are you a woman that when we feel bad, are you there for us? That's what we care about. But the women, no matter how many times you tell them that, they don't get it.
Yeah, Mr. Joe, it's starting to sound like a broken record. Constantly skipping that groove,
right.
Mr. Joe.
You're right, Kendrick. You are right. God. This is, I'm tired of talking to women, and they, no matter what their degrees are, they're still stupid, and they're not happy. If they were happy, you would say, well, maybe they got something that we don't know about, but they're not happy, so there's something wrong. So take a look at your lives, chickies.
Exactly.
You've gotten what you thought you wanted, and what happened? You're still not happy. So listen to us when we tell you about how we feel, you stupid female animals.
Well, but Ted, it's almost like it don't sound like to me it ain't about unhappiness, Mr. Joe, but more like they broken or something. That's what it looked like.
Oh, they're broken, all right.
They're even broken.
Well, yeah, because of a lot of them are because of their entitlement. They keep feeling they're entitled to this. And then when they get what they feel they're entitled to, they're still not happy. They're a victim of, is that all there is? That syndrome.
Hey, keep that conversation going. Give me 3 minutes.
Okay. You're right, Kendrick. So, they are broken because they're disappointed. They keep thinking, I don't know, give me your feelings. What do you think about that?
To me, it's almost like to a point now where you just about to got to be a psychiatrist or some type of mental guru dealing with your woman now than it is for you to be, a significant other or spouse or something to these women. And that's too much headache for me right now, personally. If you know what I mean.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because I'm not about to be the accommodating type. I will be the nice guy, the strong guy, et cetera. But you can't just show up, smile, have the makeup on your face, and expect me to do what you. I'm not going to accommodate you simply because you're a female. If you can't be a woman, forget about being a lady. If you can't be a woman, I don't need you. I don't care what your philosophies are, what your emotional state is. I'm the most important man on this planet, because I'm the one in my body, just like you, Kendrick. You're the most important man on this planet because you're the one in that body.
Well, yeah, that's
unless
true.
Unless we can find women who understand that, you're useless. If you cannot be my friend, my sexual partner, the person that I care about because you show me appreciation, that's all you got to do. Show me appreciation, and I'm there for you, right? I'm not asking you to go protect and provide for me. All I'm asking is that if you're a woman and you want your role and you want the men to play their role, then do it, but do it the right way. I'm not here to accommodate you. I don't have much patience with females.
it you know, it's almost to the point now where, you know, it's ridiculous what's going on out here. I don't want to have to fix no woman, Mr. Joe.
You don't want to have to do what with a woman?
I don't want to have to fix a woman.
Oh, fix a woman, yeah. No, she's got to come 100% intact. I'm not her mentor. It's like you're not a woman's mentor. I'm not here to fix a woman like you said. I'm not here to be your sugar daddy or your daddy. I'm a man. You should be a woman. Yeah, you have certain flaws. And if I'm your man, I'll be there and I'll stand by you. But I'm not there to wipe every tear that comes down your face simply because you got stuck in traffic and it hurt you, or you got into a conversation with your girlfriend or your aunt and it bothers you. No. You got to woman up. You got to have a strong emotional capacity. I'm not here. I don't want a child, a female child. I want a female woman. So I know what you're talking about, Danny.
Yeah, man, I don't even look right to you trying to raise my spouse. But the way it's looking to it, we might have to revisit it. We might have to, you know, get, Mr. Joe, maybe you remember, dog, I'm going to call the name then. They was expelling their daughters to older men, but they were only contestants. They can only touch they wives when they turned 18. That was the last I was told. But that's what it seemed like we're going to have to get back to. I forget the name of that system, Ted. But that was done back in the day. Oh, me and your age was marrying girls 15, 16 years old.
You're saying, I couldn't quite understand because of my app, I guess. You're saying that there was a time when men were marrying women when they were 16, 18?
Yes, sir. 15 to 18 years old. It was a time when they were doing it.
I remember when I was in the service. There was I met a girl in the service. She was married at the age of 12. Married.
See what I'm saying?
I forget what state it was. Yeah.
That's what's going to have to, that's what we're going to have to go back to, Mr. Joe, because they not getting
the train
no better.
Them, right?
You're going to have to get them while they, you're going to have to get them while they're young, Mr. Joe.
While they're young. Yeah.
You're going to have to.
That practice continued until recent, because my grandparents, my grandfather was 21 and my grandmother was 16. I got married. But feminism, it really did.
Let me ask you this, Ted. Did feminism kill those type of marriages, or are those type of marriages still going, please?
Well, you might still see that in Latin America, but here, they told women that you need to go get an education and have your own life and your own job and not... Now, if you get married at that age, you know, it's going to be a problem. But my grandmother worked, and she, not only did she work, she came home, she cooked, she cleaned, she did all the traditional woman stuff. She did everything traditional. Until my grandfather died at 90, she still cooked the dinner, made the sandwich. I mean, sometimes he would make his own stuff, and he could cook, but my grandmother took care of it. And
that's what a lot of the problem Mr. Kevin Samuel run into, Ted. A lot of women just not understanding what you just described. A lot of brothers in my generation now not getting it. A woman like your grandmother doing all the wifely duties that she, you know, that she was raised up doing. A lot of them not doing it. Like Mr. Joe said, they career driven now. These women are out working men now, Mr. T.
Well, here's the problem.
Yeah.
If you give it right, so before the pandemic, 51% of the workforce was made up of women. So imagine that number goes to 60. Then imagine it goes to 75. Imagine 75% of the workforce being women. What are you going to do with all those unemployed men?
Good point.
So then
damn good point. Right. Yeah.
Women still want to date men if she's heterosexual, right? So, and she still expects to be wined and dined, except you just the men, and they don't have the jobs. So who are you going to date? Like, this has been coming. Like, there's been a tipping point. There have always been women in the workforce, and there are jobs where women do better. They're more efficient to hire women than it is to hire men. So you continue to put women in those jobs. And there are some women who are outliers. They're great at sales. They're great at something, right? That maybe they may be great attorneys, maybe great doctors. But you let the outliers have those jobs, and those women who are just average, they're actually pulling down productivity of the U.S. If you have lower productivity and you try to pay women the same, the companies are becoming unprofitable. So what do? They raise prices and the cost of living goes up. And now two people have to work. You have to now, where you didn't have to before.
Yeah.
So if you just continue to displace men in the workforce, what are we going to do with them? Are we just going to build more homeless shelters for them? Or are we going to just put them in the military and start wars so we can put them on the front line? What are women thinking about the long term? And if you take most men out of the workforce, I guess you'll have them do jobs women don't want, like the sanitation department, oil wells, and, you know, all the other, you know, iron workers. But
all the work all the jobs that require exertion.
right. But how do you keep a society maintained? Like, if you still need men built, you know, was it you, Joe, who said women built the bridge, a footbridge, and it collapsed?
No, that was probably Chris.
Yes, yeah, someone else told me, but Chris definitely told me. You still need infrastructure, isn't it? The President of the United States is rolling out a huge budget for infrastructure projects.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. Yeah. And if you take a look at that infrastructure bill, he's naming just about everything that's infrastructure. Money to Pakistan, Afghanistan, India.
Really?
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's not the, and yeah, it's not American infrastructure. And certainly with the stimulus bill, a lot of money went overseas. But with the infrastructure bill, any of the money that's still within the United States, He's naming just about anything as infrastructure. Opening up a store, that's infrastructure. Helping out daycare centers or something. That's, you know, I'm just throwing that out there as an example. It may not be a good one. But, no, a lot of stuff that he's in the bill is not what was normally constituted as infrastructure. So, yeah. But to go to your point about what's going to society, the men will have to step up and say, look, you want to take over, you know, some of the duties of workforce? Fine. As of today, as of 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 55% of women, 55% of managers in the United States were women. That was 10 to 15 years ago. So if we continue along the lines that you're talking about, Ted, it's going to disrupt society, especially if the women still want the man to make more than she does. She's not going to find him if 60% of the workforce is going to be female.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, this real quick. So this is my thing about what you just said, Ms. Joe. Why is the sole focus on a rich man right now? Well, regardless of the other average, everyday 9-to-5 Joe Blows is out here working hard, just as hard as that rich dude that they claim and they want. Why is the rich man the sole purpose of the focus of these women out here? Can either one of you explain me that?
Joe just answered that. She wants a guy who makes more than her. So she wants to have her own money and a guy who makes more than her.
But the thing is, Ted, whether or not those rich 6-7-figure men want her, that's the question. And in my studies, them dudes not looking for anything and everything, Ted.
I understand that. But the question is, if you displace most men in the U.S., what do you do with the men? You're just going to have them build homeless shelters and military.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with the men? And I think women are not understanding long term. This is a bad strategy. You're going to, the men, some guy did a study back in the 30s, and he asked, how do you turn a man into a criminal, deny him the right to work? So that means men are going to be drug addicts, they're going to be rapists, they're going to be robbers. You're going to see crime moving to the but you have 75%, 80% of the workforce filled with women. You're going to see men get out of control. Women then will be unsafe.
I couldn't hardly hear
it. It's going to be disruptive for society.
Right, I didn't.
And Kendrick, to answer your question about the millionaires, unfortunately, millionaires have been wanting women of lesser stature for decades because women marry up. 95% of women marry up, something like 95% of men marry down. So they've always accepted, like Donald Trump, for example, he got married 3 times. I always thought of him as an idiot for getting married the second time. How do you have half your salary, you know?
But
you have,
you know,
half
this,
your assets.
But this lady he went out on, Mr. Joe, that lady looked like she was worth it. That fine, what her name, Melania, that lady looked like, you know, he got a prize to him. So I could figure that looked like the type he'll go for.
It is, because he likes foreign women, except for the second wife, which was American women. That's because he got her pregnant, I believe. The first wife was Ivana. And she was also from Europe. But the thing is that men have always accepted women of lesser stature. We're more tolerant of women, of their inability to contribute financially to a household, than women are men.
So that's not totally true. There are a lot of men who, let's say they come from money or they earn a lot of money. They look for a woman who actually has a network and she's open doors.
Oh, yeah, I know. I agree with you on that. I think if a man is very wealthy, let's say he's a Hilton, he'll want somebody from, let's say, the Walton family. Walton family. But generally, if you're, yeah.
What's that guy's name, Cardone? You know who I'm talking about? I forget his first name. Is he a billionaire, Cardone? He earned money. And I know someone who asked him in an interview, or it was a conversation, it was on that app Clubhouse, asked him, how important is it for your wife to have a network? Grant Cardone is his name. Oh, I guess we lost Joe. Joe got knocked out, so he won't be able to hear it. So, Kendrick, here's the deal. See, this is to your point. These guys who are wealthy, they don't want just an average woman. What Grant Cardone said is, during the last recession, like around 2009, the only reason he was able to be as successful as he was is because his wife was so good at networking and she opened doors, and that's what made him successful. It was his wife. So guys who are very affluent, they're not looking for just an average woman. They're looking for women who actually have a network. So most women don't qualify for that.
And if that be the case, Ted, they should just do like Kevin Sam said and get them a hairy dude and be happy. But they want everything, Ted. They want everything, the whole nine yards.
But see, they're not qualified for what they want. See, they are average. They just... We live in a country that opens the doors. We live in a country that has started opening doors of opportunity for women instead of men. So it's closing a lot of men out. It's closed a lot of men out. That's why I went on and said, what happens if 75% of the workforce is female? What do we do with the men? And I don't think women are thinking that far like this.
that's not a good end game. It's not a good place for society to be. You'll have a lot of men who will become criminals, drug addicts, and alcoholics. And some of them will end up in a mental institution, as I just showed. So I guess if you put them in prison or mental institutions, then you can control them, as we saw in the movie. But we also saw in the movie there was a man who was like Red Pill. He was not about to be controlled. The ending is unfortunate, and the battle. So if you guys, I don't want to tell you the end, but if you, I dropped the link, you can watch it. It was a hell of a battle between the man and the woman. So who really won at the end? You know, you have to watch the movie to find out.
But you know, into conjunction with what you talking about right there, because see, I grew up watching a lot of Criminal Minds, a lot of NSCI and Miami Investigator. I grew up watching a lot of it. In the end, a lot of times that sadist or that serial creep, sometimes that fool always wins. Sometimes, Ted, and sometimes I be rooting for that fool. Because you got to understand the perspective I'm coming from. I'm coming from the red pill perspective. That means that woman just can't tame to it. We got those type of society that you just can't tame.
That was the point of showing the movie, of how this is manhood in its essence, not to be tamed. That was the point of showing the movie, that manhood is not there to be tamed. Except feminism has not only attempted to tame it, to control it, to crush it, and stamp out manhood. And that movie was made in 1975. We haven't stopped that. There were very few women back then who were trying to stamp out manhood. Now we have a culture of that.
Yes, we do. This culture, this scary territory where we at, and I'm like you. I want to agree along the lines that it looked like, I want to say, Ted, it looked like we headed to something, a madhouse. That's what it seemed like to me, because like you were saying, you eloquently said it. I was born into this. I'm not accustomed to this. I was born into this.
That's all you know. So I wanted to show a movie of what it was like before, right, you were born. And I've showed some other movies of when it was older, when men, you know, stood up for things and took a stand and took charge, and it was okay. When men do that now, they're considered toxic masculinity. But the crazy thing is women still want men who stand up and take charge and lead.
But you get penalized for that, though, Ted.
But see, that's why I showed the movie, because I showed a movie where a man didn't care about he was more committed to being a man and not being crushed by feminism. And I wanted men to see that they didn't want me to show the important things. So watch the movie, Kendrick. It's worth watching.
Oh yes, more than I'm gonna check that out tonight.
Yeah, I put the link in the chat so you guys can check it out. Any final thoughts? And I'm gonna close up shop. Unfortunately, I really wanted to show that. I thought they were gonna like leave the door open for me to do it. But sorry about that, guys. Great movie. I wanted to have some really good commentary, but sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no problem, Ted, but yes, sir. I'm glad you did choose that movie, and my thoughts on it was that was exactly the beginning of the feminist stuff. I want to say that in closing. I really do. I want to say that because it's like we're looking in a mirror from the past or right now.
Well put. Yep. They showed us in the past what they wanted in the future. when you see that.
That was a darn good guess. Prophecy being fulfilled right there, Tig. They were predicting our future right there.
That's a good way to put it, right? So they kind of set up the playing field so that we got to where we are now. So they made a movie telling you what it's going to be like in the future.
Yep, and that's crazy. But that movie is scary accurate.
Wait, someone asked me a question. What can you call it? Someone just asked a woman, Deanna. I don't know if I know her. So maybe a woman wants to give a perspective here. I don't know. Deanna, are you interested in sharing a perspective based on what we are saying? Or are we saying something that's so off base you want to correct us? I just dropped the link if you'd like to jump in.
Okay, we're getting the latest perspective.
Yeah, it's Deanna, so. I know it's Deanna, I don't know if that's her though.
Deanna.
So I just dropped the link, Deanna. Click the link and come on up. The number, you won't be able to call into the number. Kendrick is on a number from Blog Talk. It's too late. You won't have access. But if you come up on the link, I can have you live where you can speak to me face to face. Come on down. Like the price is right. Come on down. There you go. Came on down.
Am I in?
Yes, you are. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty well. Where are you calling from? What state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Virginia, United States.
Very cool. I used to live in D.C. So what?
Family up there.
Oh,
hey, now.
Very cool. All right.
So I'm kind of new to your channel.
Thanks for checking me out.
Absolutely. When I saw you streaming live, I was like, I have some questions. But it's like, I wonder if we're on the same page. I just kind of need, clarity on something. I mean, I'm not saying that you will give me that, but it's like, I would like to meet somebody, talk to somebody that's as open-minded as me. So my best friend and I, we've come to the conclusion, we're young, 21 years old, we pretty much know about life, we know that most of everything, not to sound depressing or whatever you want to put a title on it, we're just kind of stuff just makes sense to us. We just have so much clarity on life at such a young age, and we're kind of what do we do from here now? So I guess my question is, it's just kind of how are we not supposed to go about life, but Like, there's just so much that you can do. Like, you hear about all this stuff about spirituality and, you know, all of that. It's like, you want life to, like, just have, like, just a bigger purpose. And it's like, we kind of felt like, oh, you know, life is, like, we kind of get it at this point. And it's really hard to explain.
So let me ask you a question. You're 21.
Go ahead.
Are you in college?
Yes, I'm about to graduate, actually, in a week.
Okay, congratulations. What was your major?
Thank you.
What is your major?
Majoring in business.
Just general, like, business administration?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You went to school in Virginia?
Mm-hmm. I go, I don't know if I should say the school because I'm so wise. but I go to a school in Virginia, yes.
So what is it you want to do with your degree?
So I've took classes in entrepreneurship. I'm very interested in entrepreneurship, and I've seen, you know, a lot of different perspectives. I've seen, you know, what my school teaches me, what I go out and I went to finance leaders conferences in New York, and I've also did like seminars and everything. So it was just like different types of aspects on entrepreneurship, and everybody, they have like their own unique styles. They have like their own things. Some things are more complicated. Some people are like, oh, it's not that complicated. I didn't even have to go to school, you know, stuff like that. And I'm the type of person of like, I want to learn everything. I want to know, you know, I just kind of just want to know everything about, you know, whatever that comes to me, not just school, but things that I'm just interested in. I just want to know things. I guess that's just me. But entrepreneurship, I definitely think that I have a lot of things that I want to pursue and a lot of things that I can definitely bring to the table. But I might be cocky, but I think that's just me being confident.
So what do you bring to the table?
Definitely ideas. I have a lot of ideas. I've had ideas in the past where, like, they so it feels, not to be cocky, but it feels like I have some ideas and then somebody else does them. And I'm like, of course, if there's a problem, somebody is going to solve it. I'm probably not going to be the first to solve it because I'm too busy dealing with school and all that stuff. But it's like, I know how to find gaps in the marketplace. I know, like, you know, because I hear what people are saying. I have, you know, social media and everything. And so, like, I know how to fill those gaps, but it's like I'm not the person to fill those gaps.
So let me ask you this. Why don't you just go to, if I say VC, do you know what I mean?
VC?
V, Victor Cat, VC. Do you know
what I mean? Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Venture capitalists, these are people who invest in companies in an early stage. I mean, they would probably tell you to go to friends and family first. But why don't you either go to a VC and do crowdfunding and raise the money and build an organization and solve it? Why haven't you done that?
Well, I'm trying to finish up my degree.
I understand.
And then I can be able to, you know, whatever else. So, like, I want to go to Nevada, Las Vegas, because I feel like that's a great place for startup businesses. And I want to go to, like, you know, different places to do pitch conferences. And I just kind of, I don't see myself settling anywhere right after college. I just want to, you know, explore and go places. And it's like but if I do go to Nevada, Las Vegas, I'm like, I can, you know, have a little job and then I can meet people. And if somebody, you know, they want to do business with me, they're like, oh, yeah, you got to come out to California. I'm like, I'm there. You know, I want to be able to, like, just kind of bounce from place to place. And that doesn't really sound very stable, but that's kind of where I'm at. And that's
okay.
my goal to do.
So when you're, let's fast forward, when you're 30 years old, what do you want your life to look like at 30?
So 30 years old, I would like to definitely be able to contribute to people that are like me. So right now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not the best state in life. I'm not very stable with myself. But I've been through, some time where I've had clarity. I've gotten to know me more and, I guess spirituality came into play. But it's like everybody has their own journey, so I'm not going to say, I'm so spiritual or anything like that. I just kind of went on a journey where I was just kind of dedicated to being a different person, because back then I just wasn't the greatest person. Even though, 20 years old, you can't really say, you haven't even been through life. I know that I have not been through life, but I've been through enough stuff to know that I don't want to be that type of person and I want to change. And so I kind of dedicated myself. I'm like, I want to be a different person. I want to change. And it just kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm grateful for everything. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be here.
Hold on. You understand you didn't answer my question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I asked you, fast forward at 30, what do you want? What would you want to have in your life at 30?
Okay, so I would like to have...
What are the things that you would like to have accomplished by 30 years old?
Yeah, so 30 years old, I want to be at least free in all aspects of life. I want to be financially free. I'm going to have several incomes. I want to be sure that I can give back to people that were in my type of situation.
Let me ask you another question. Do you want children?
See, that's a hard question because it's like, I have no idea what the future has in hold for me.
I'm asking what you want, not what the future wants. Do you want children?
That's kind of iffy. It's like, whatever happens. So, if I do have children,
okay.
Of course.
Let me ask you this. Do you want to be married?
I think I deserve to be married.
Okay. How old do you want to be when you get married?
Probably about, 27.
Okay. And do you want to have children with your husband?
I would think so, if we're getting married.
Okay, great. And how many children would you like to have?
Three.
You want to have three children?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. And you're expecting to live lower middle class, middle class? What kind of lifestyle are you expecting to live?
Well, I expect to live very wealthy, because that's just who I would want to be. Not just say, my husband, for me, myself, and I. That's my goal, to be wealthy enough to provide, and I just want to be wealthy for me.
Okay, and
not even for anybody else.
How old do you want to be when you have your first of three children?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
How old do you want to be when you have your first of three children?
So I probably want to be at least 29, because you clock starts to kick in around that
women,
time.
Women have to deal with that reality, right? You can't have children forever, right? So you want to have your first child at 29, and you're 21, so that gives you 8 years. Are you dating someone who you would consider to be a prospective husband?
So I have people that are interested. Well, I have
interested. Are you in a relationship with someone and it would lead to marriage?
I think that he would think that it would lead to marriage, but I don't think that I am in a place for that, because I don't know him that well.
So how long have you known him?
For about 2 years. We went to school together. We've been good friends.
And you don't know if you know him well enough after 2 years?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. All right. So you wouldn't marry this guy? he's one of those nice guys, huh?
He's a nice guy. He's fine. But I'm kind of in a space where I don't really, I'm not looking for a guy. I'm finally in a space where I'm not looking for a guy, and I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever happens, happens. Whatever, you know, God or the universe has to give for me, that's what I receive.
Okay. Did you grow up with both parents at home?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how does your, what did your father say to you about finding a husband, the right guy for you?
He said that all men are pigs.
That's unfortunate. Wow.
It is. It is. Very. Yes, I did not have the greatest.
So I'm going to tell you, your father set you up for failure.
I don't think so. I think that my father really let me know just straight up how guys are, because I have met guys that just weren't the best.
I understand, but do you know that there are a lot of good men out there? And if a parent starts a child, a woman out, a girl out is thinking all guys are pigs, people generally tend to look for what they believe exists.
No, I think that what I look for is anything but my father. So whatever I see that it gives me red flags, reminds me of him, I'm
so
like,
how do you
I don't
know,
think that's the
how do you know who's a good, what do you look for in a man to know he's a good guy then?
So I've seen my mother go through plenty of stuff with my father. And it's kind of gotten to the point where I was like, okay, well, I would like somebody that would be able to go half with me on everything.
Okay.
I'm talking about chores. I'm talking about bills. I'm talking about, you know, be able to, you know, just kind of, even my wildest dreams, just kind of support everything that I want to do.
So
because
wait,
I am very independent, because that's just how I was raised by my mother.
Let me ask you another question. So you grew up with both parents at home?
Yes.
Would you say your mother wore the pants in the house?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
I mean, at one point, yes, she did, because my father, I mean, he was just something else, but that's just a whole other story. He has a lot of stuff on with him, but I don't blame him for that.
Question.
That's just how he was raised, and I had to accept that.
Well,
same with my mother.
You understand my question. I asked you, did your mother wear the pants? You said no, and then you said yes. So which one is it?
So, yeah, I think that she did wear the pants.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you respect your father?
I do respect him.
But you think he's a mess?
I do think he's good.
Do
but I don't blame him for that. I accept that and I moved on.
Do you respect people who are a mess?
Oh, yeah, because who says I'm not a mess?
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, how do you know a man is a quality man?
See, I don't know. I know whoever makes me feel like I am worthy enough, whoever makes me feel like I don't have to just do things alone. I mean, like I said, I'm still pretty young, 21 years old. So I've been told by not just my family, but like several family members, you don't have to be settling down. You have to look for nobody. I'm like, yeah, but it's nice to have somebody with you. At the end of the day, I just don't know. I feel like I would know when I'm with them, because I feel like one, they would not get on my nerves. And I feel like two, it just kind of wouldn't be a... It wouldn't be a situation where there's just any kind of problems with it. I mean, of course there'd be problems, but I feel like not that what I've seen with my parents growing up. That was a real good example of we're not to get into.
Okay. Have you done training and conflict resolution?
For school, yes. I haven't been in any, counselings or anything like that. I mean, I've been to therapy, but that's about it.
And what did your therapist say to you?
you know, she said a lot to me. I mean, from what I have grew up with, that's why I'm saying I'm probably not, you know, the best.
How long do you think it's going to take you to be qualified for a guy who wants the best?
Well, I think I'm qualified right now. I mean,
You understand that a guy who's really like this quality guy who's going to have a great career and you want to live a great life, you said wealthy. So that's, you're talking about a guy making at least $500,000.
No, I'm not talking about a guy. I'm talking about me. See, that's the thing. I've been brought up to be independent. My mother has brought up to teach me not to depend on no man because of how her husband was. So that's why I have went to school. That's why I do everything that I do now. I have been working since the day that I have been at the age to work because I have been brought up to not ever depend on a man. What I want is a man to meet the qualities that I have. See, that's the thing about men these days. They do not meet the standards. They do not come up to par about women who can do stuff on their own. Have you ever seen, I'm pretty sure you have seen, Tyler Perry, I Can Do That All By Myself. That is kind of what I have been on. Not that situation in general. I've never been in that situation where some man abused me or where I would be damned if some man ever did that stuff. But it's like where I can provide on my own. I can be independent on my own. I can do everything on my own. When I tell you today, I dug a satellite dish up out the ground by myself. I can do the yard work. I can take out the trash. I can do all this stuff. I can pay taxes. I can do all that by myself. I don't need a man to do anything. That's at the end of the day. I know that I'm qualified for any and anyone. I just want somebody to be on that level because I know what my dreams are. I know who I want to be, and I want somebody to be there with me.
How does a man communicate with you if you don't stop and listen?
I'm sorry, what?
How does a man communicate with you if you never stop to even breathe to listen?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were talking. I was just
I understand. I understand. So you've been told you don't need a man. You can do it by yourself. You deserve to be married, are your words, and you want to have 3 children. And you don't want to have your first children until you're 29. Correct?
Yeah, at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens.
I'm making sure I understand you. Did I get that?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I can dream all day and every day, but whatever happens, what happens.
Hold on, we just need to make sure we understand the picture here. At the same time, you're not sure what to look for in a good guy. You do know what it looks like for a guy you don't want. So you know what you don't want, but you don't really know what to look for in a guy who can. Do you want to marry a man who's unemployed and doesn't work? Do you want that?
I want to marry a man would be able to work even if he is unemployed. So if I ask you, hey, can you go take out the trash? Hey, can you go do this on the house?
No, Deanna, listen to my question. Do you want a man who does not work? Would you marry a guy like that?
What type of question are you asking? Because I feel like it has more to it. I can't just have some man that just don't work. There has to be other qualities to him.
So what are those qualities?
So I have a man that doesn't work, but he can do what, you know, what a man does. He can, or what you think that a man does in this society, you know, that how society raises us. So apparently men are supposed to take up the trash and they're supposed to, you know, do yard work, which I can do all by myself and everything. I just want somebody to go half and half with me, not somebody that will sit around the house, lay on their ass, and just, you know, watch TV and just, like, you know, not even think about doing anything for themselves. I just want somebody to be as independent as I am, because I know that I would be independent at the end of the day.
Do you see what you just did in the conversation?
What?
I asked you, would you marry a man who's unemployed? And you started talking about a man sitting on his ass. I never said that. You see where you rent? See, this is what I was saying, that your parents set you up to fail because you have that in your mind. I never said that.
Okay, but if you're unemployed, I mean,
I'm just asking a simple question. My question is simple. Would you marry a man who's unemployed?
Okay, my question to you, would you marry a woman?